From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this local and statewide news update. Juneau officials are reporting 12 new cases of COVID-19 in the area. Half of those are connected to a cluster of infections among the city's unsheltered population. That cluster has 85 people in it so far. The majority have recovered, but there are still outstanding test results from the city's effort to test people at AWARE, Housing First, the Glory Hall, and the cold weather shelter run by St. Vincent de Paul. There are 85 active cases of COVID-19 in Juneau right now, and two people with the disease are being treated at Bartlett Regional Hospital. Because of a backlog of cases waiting for the state's contact tracers, Juneau city officials are urging residents who test positive to call the local public health office directly in addition to reaching out to close contacts. Statewide, there were 353 new cases of COVID-19 reported in Alaska today. A female resident from the Kenai Peninsula is reported to have died. The Juneau Assembly made a decision last night requiring the disclosure of real estate prices to the city assessor's office, despite opposition from local realtors. KTOO's Adeline Baxter has more on why the Assembly could decide to reevaluate that decision at its next meeting.
From the city's point of view, giving the assessor's office access to sales prices helps them make better property assessments each year, and that leads to fairer rates for taxpayers.
It's one more tool for the assessor to fulfill the mandate of state law, which says that you will assess property at true fair market value.
That's Assemblymember Lauren Jones. Alaska is one of a handful of so-called non-disclosure states. That means the final sales price of property transactions doesn't have to be shared publicly. Still, local communities are free to change that. But at least one Assemblymember and local realtors say there are still unanswered questions about how this policy will work. Assemblymember Greg Smith tried to delay the vote. He asked to send it back to committee.
I wanted to follow the recommendation of the city manager, which was put it back to committee for further discussion and potentially even a public hearing, just because I didn't feel like I fully understood the breadth of what we were doing.
Smith's motion failed, with other members saying they felt they had already discussed the topic enough and were ready to vote. The new mandatory disclosure policy passed. Smith, Wade Bryson, and Mayor Beth Weldon voted against it. But later in the meeting, Jones notified the mayor that he planned to motion for reconsideration.
That's a parliamentary move so that if I want to bring it up at the next assembly meeting, whenever that is, I can do that.
A motion to reconsider needs a majority vote to pass. Otherwise, the original vote stands. Jones says he may not even change his vote, but he realized some of the information he shared at the meeting may have been inaccurate.
I wanted to go back and review the emails, go back and review the information that I was provided. And if I was wrong, I need to state that. If that then changes my opinion, which I'm not sure it will, then I would have an opportunity to bring it back up before the assembly.
Curtis Francis is president of the Southeast Alaska Board of Realtors. He says there were a few inaccurate statements made at the meeting about what's publicly disclosed during real estate transactions. But the main issue, he says, is that the final sales price isn't always the best indicator of a home's worth. For one thing, it doesn't reflect negotiations and closing costs.
Maybe a seller paid $10,000 for its closing costs, which would not go into the sales price. Sometimes there's repairs that are made in lieu of sales prices that are also not disclosed, so it's not always an accurate price.
Francis was disappointed the assembly didn't do more to talk to realtors who wrote to them before the meeting.
They could have simply called someone, any realtor, title company, and gotten some of these answers, but that didn't appear to happen, which is unfortunate.
The earliest a motion for reconsideration could happen is November 16th. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
Governor Dunleavy's public health emergency disaster declaration is set to expire on November 15th. Healthcare providers and local governments say they need that declaration. It allows them to better respond to the pandemic. As Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports, four different groups are urging Dunleavy to extend the designation.
The Alaska Native Health Board represents regional health organizations and advocates for Alaska Native Health. It sent a letter to Dunleavy last week asking him to extend the declaration.
The crisis of COVID-19 is not over for rural Alaska, and it's not over for Alaska Native communities. In fact, it's really just beginning, and we're seeing that in the really large number of cases that have been coming out from rural Alaska.
That's Wynn Davis. He's a policy analyst for the Health Board. Davis notes that the shares of COVID-19 cases and deaths affecting Alaska Natives are larger than their share of the population. Davis points out that the largely Native communities of Chivac, Stebbins, Buckland, and Gamble have all had massive outbreaks recently. Davis says the mandates Dunleavy and state health leaders issued under the disaster declaration in the spring slowed the spread of the virus in rural Alaska, and he says the disaster could worsen if the state ends the declaration.
It only stands to make the outbreak of COVID-19 worse in our hard-hit rural locations.
Every state in the country has operated under some form of emergency order, and it doesn't appear that any state has intentionally ended its order. Keeping Alaska's declaration aligns the state with federal waivers that hospitals and nursing homes need. That's according to Jared Kosin, president and CEO of the Alaska State Hospital and Nursing Home Association. He also sent a letter to Dunleavy urging him to extend the declaration. He says it's not certain whether the federal government will continue to waive federal rules if the declaration ends. These waivers have allowed Alaska hospitals to do things like screen patients for COVID-19 outside of emergency rooms, or prepare to treat COVID patients in outside alternate sites if there's a surge in patients.
So that is a major issue, because if we lose those flexibilities, our ability to deliver care quickly and creatively in the middle of the pandemic is really up in the air.
Kosin says the hospitals are looking for Dunleavy's administration to clear up the uncertainty.
Because the last thing we need right now in trying to deliver health care is determining whether or not we're even legally allowed to do so.
The Alaska Municipal League also sent a letter urging Dunleavy to extend the disaster declaration. The letter says navigating this crisis without an emergency declaration may be, quote, calamitous, and that local governments, quote, cannot do this on their own. A group of Democratic and independent House members sent a letter to the Republican governor asking him to work together on an extension. They wrote that the recent surge in cases, quote, should be a call to action. Dunleavy spokesperson Jeff Turner says the governor hasn't decided whether to let the declaration expire. Turner says Dunleavy is assessing the situation and will decide by November 15th. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Juneau's harbor officials have received the all clear to scuttle the Lumberman, a derelict tugboat. The World War II vintage tugboat has been a fixture on Gastineau Channel. It became a jurisdictional tug-of-war between city, state, and Coast Guard officials after it broke its anchor line on state tidelands more than 2 years ago. It's now moored to a city-owned cruise dock. Juneau Port Director Carl Yucatel says the EPA permit gives the city permission to flood the 192-ton steel-hulled boat and sink it in 8,400 feet of water.
If we open this 6-inch valve, the vessel should sink in 22 minutes.
But first, port officials will need to find a way to tow the tug about 50 miles west of Icy Point. How that works, what it would cost, and whether it'll happen this year or next spring is still being worked out.
It'll be a good day when we can put the Lumberman in our wake and move on to something else. But
Yucatel says the EPA gave the green light to sink the vessel after it was thoroughly cleaned, first by the Coast Guard in 2018, and more recently by contractors who removed garbage and oily waste from the ship. The 107-foot tugboat was last used as a makeshift liveaboard anchored outside of Juneau's Aurora Harbor. Tragedy struck in 2017 when a skiff with five people heading to the tug overturned. Two men on that skiff were never found. Derelict vessels are a problem across coastal Alaska and Gastineau Channel in particular. As recently as 2015, another derelict tug, the Challenger, sank near Juneau. It was ultimately refloated, cleaned, and dismantled. That cost the public upwards of $2 million. The state legislature has since tightened up vessel registration rules in an effort to strengthen the law over the liability of derelict vessels. And Governor Mike Dunleavy's latest COVID-19 press conference is scheduled for 5 p.m. today. The governor, Alaska Department of Health and Social Services Commissioner Adam Crum, Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink, Chief Epidemiologist Dr. Joe McLaughlin, and DHSS Public Health Director Heidi Hedberg are scheduled to appear. In previous conferences, they've shared updates on the number of people in the state with confirmed cases, announced public health mandates, and explained the administration's strategy and rationale. You can watch today's press conference live on KTOO.org or on the governor's Facebook or live stream pages.